Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I'm having some technical issues on my side, so during the break I'll be having to reset the whole system here. I'm not sure if this is related to the thing or whatever, just the technical issues on my side, and I've been advised by the listeners that Claire's is coming through just fine. So we also have another caller in, and I'm just bringing up the caller line now, ladies and gentlemen, and I apologize for this, but although you guys will be speaking, just bear in mind I won't be able to terribly hear you. So, Claire, I'd welcome back, and also Chris from Florida. You guys are going to have to be the impromptu talkers of the show at this point.
Okay.
Oh, hey, Vinny, this is Chris, and I don't know if you can hear me. I just heard in the last break that you wanted to check to see if you could receive calls, and our people were experiencing technical difficulties in the States. I have been, and especially with Google, actually, trying to get on with Chrome. The browser hasn't really been working, and as far as I know, it's been pretty operational today. I think a lot of this stuff is legitimate. I just caught the show right when you were asking about calls, so I'm not exactly sure like what the running topic is, but yeah, there has been some definite issues.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yeah, you're coming through clear.
Oh, good.
I can hear both of you.
In fact, it seems to have resolved itself. You know. It's like you go over the hump and there's a little bit of a meh, but it comes back and it's all G unit, as my pimp daddy would say. Now, Claire is the guest today, Chris, and she's comes from a scholarly background, and she has been talking about JFK, John Lennon, and mind control. And a number of other things.
Ooh, that was my favorite topic.
Yeah.
Which one?
So, Chris, I just wanted to kind of thank you for your call, and we'll kind of let Claire proceed because the technical issues seem to have come to an end.
Absolutely.
Thanks, man.
Okay, no problem.
Claire.
Hi. Yeah, I wonder if it was the topic.
Let's do a test. Electromagnetic weaponry. Not breaking up.
No.
Okay. It wasn't
okay.
That.
The thing is that the research there veered away from that as a possibility in the consensus of the people who were attending the conference. But that I was attempting to raise the issue of what is seemingly weird about EMF, what is valid about some of the initial observations of Wood, whether or not the ultimate explanation will be that or something else, but that there were things being noticed that have actually made their way into the explanations that have come out on Veterans Today now about something called a neutron bomb. It's not a regular nuke. It's not like, you know, you get this sort of big blast of heat. There's heat, but the flash is so brief, only about 10 to 20 feet wide. You wouldn't see it. It wouldn't necessarily. It is a whole bunch of technical issues. There's an article now about it on Veterans Day, it's most viewed article right now, called Mini Neutron Bombs, a Major Piece of the 9/11 Puzzle. And it involves the issue that possible that Wood was underplaying the heat issue, maybe not intentionally, but that there wasn't so much like big blast of heat the way you would find it, or massive radiation the way you would find at, you know, just the blowing up of Hiroshima or Nagasaki, but rather it's a different kind of a thing, because the products in the dust that were found by the USGS service. They were chemists, and they weren't looking for physics issues that were related to nukes. They were just doing work on the dust. They found all these nuclear products, and the dust didn't see that as nuclear products. That's not what their training was. So the work seems to be legitimate, and so it must be accounted for. But in my talk, and there is a Vancouver PowerPoint that I did, I outlined some of the interesting things that Wood raised. So particularly on the weirdness of EMF in its own right, it's a very interesting issue. What is physics and what have we? So we were talking about Fibonacci spirals and pasta. Kidding. Fibonacci spirals and the nature of the universe and mathematics. And so those are some of the things that I was raising in addition to the 9/11 question there. So that was another thing that I did this past summer. This earlier in the summer. But about Lennon, if we can cover the McCartney thing, that would be good, because I think it's something that's laughed at, and it's something I laughed at, and I'd love to actually bring it up. Is that something you'd be open to, Vinny?
I intended for this to take up the entire second hour and random stuff to take up the first hour.
What in the first hour?
Random stuff.
Okay, random. All right. The chaotic randomness of the universe. How about back to the mind control? There's an amazing little short video, about 11 minutes long, at Brass Check TV. It's also on YouTube directly, but Brass Check TV has it listed there. It's called Brainwashing in Jonestown. Now, Jonestown is an interesting question because, of course, the official story there is that there were several hundred people who all committed suicide in 1978. 1977-78 is when these revelations about mind control were coming out in the Congress, U.S. Congress and Senate. And there were several hundred, thousand, I think, or 2,000 people there at Jonestown. And the head medical examiner for Guyana actually went there, and his report was that most of them died by injection and gunshot. They were not, in fact, he found gunshot wounds on many. Also, there were no media allowed in the area, no civilians around in the area. And meanwhile, the special forces were ringing the area, supposedly to help escapees. But then suddenly the body count goes up by several hundred and then several hundred more. So the official explanation was, there were several hundred behind a shed and we just forgot to look there. I mean, it gets ridiculous. So for anybody who wants to actually find some of these brass tacks about that case, there's a very good little video that was put up October 2012 called Brainwashing in Jonestown. And it's not just, your average even circumstantial argument. It's some of the forensics questions. They found an entire shed with, I think it was about 5,000 doses of methamphetamines in it or something. It seems to have been a combination of mind control and experimental torture sites and stuff, as well as, of course, people who were disadvantaged. They picked them up off the streets through the Child Protective Services, people who were Black and Latino particularly, the forgotten of the culture, And they were also buying babies or getting babies from local Guyanese women who wanted to get rid of the babies. So this was and there was a shootout of the congressman who went down there, and they managed to finish everybody off. So I think it's important to know what the medical examiner who actually was there said, because by the time they did that, they were allowed in as news services, the bodies were so decomposed that, fingerprinting or toxicology reports couldn't have been done. The toxicity of the body itself undoes the ability to do those tests. Of course, a gunshot wound might have been able to be tested because it might have hit bone, but none of that was done. So I think it's important to know that these things are quite real and they're quite ugly, and they can't be not going on now. Webster Tarpley suggests, for instance. Are you still there?
Of course.
Oh, okay. It sounded so silent, I thought, where's Vinny?
Well, you're intensely interesting, Claire, that's why.
Okay, because, I mean, you know, just, like, I'm trying to be slow, I'm trying to be, you know, open to, you can interrupt me any time, I'm just, yeah, chatting.
I'll tell you what, take it at light speed, if you will.
All right, okay. You want me to really, you do not want me to go at light speed, I'm usually, people complain. Okay, I won't.
I'm ready!
Okay. Well, I can go on. I know about a lot of these things. They're really, once you've done deep research, you've found the key pieces of evidence. You can go very quickly. Bang, 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 bang. This is the argument. This is what, you know, leaves it out. This is where, and it's very hard to absorb that. But unfortunately, you know, that kind of, you have to eliminate a lot of what you would broadly know and might be so, and then say, this is the argument. Just as I said with Costello, this is the argument. This argument cannot be defeated. It doesn't mean that you don't have other arguments that might be defeated, but once this one is in place, that's it, right? The case is made. It doesn't mean that there isn't more to know about it or you can't get at it some other way, but the case is made. If there's an absolute argument for something, then that's enough. I mean, it's enough to answer the basic question that's in people's minds, you know, was it a conspiracy or not, or was there a cover up or not? Jonestown is a really interesting one because I find the mind control stuff very fascinating. I think it's some of the creepiest material because it involves people who, you know, are misrepresented as, you know, just being happy or just having a regular role to play. And in fact, they're so manipulated that you know, I have a real sympathy for the victim. And I think that we need to do justice to these people, not just in this case, to say, you know, like, this is real stuff. These people are truly taken advantage of. Webster Tarpley has made the point that the Guantanamo seems to be basically a torture center like this, only one that's institutionalized, and that out of that come people who have been convinced and or brainwashed and or mind-controlled and or torture mind-controlled. There's layers to become American agents or fanatics. Once somebody, of course, feels, either if they're brainwashed into being an agent or if they become so radicalized against the horrible captivity that they're usable by others who are agents, you know, and to be the fanatic dupe, to be the fanatic terrorist. So it can work either way. You can create a terrorist by making them consciously know that they're going to go out and be one and whatever, or you can create it so that a person, it becomes so radicalized against your bad treatment that you're very convenient and predictable. A lot of people don't think of that, and we think only of this sort of mind control. But anyway, Jonestown was horrible, and I think the timing, 1978, when it occurred, is key because that's when this Senate Congress, House Senate Committee on Intelligence was revealing mind control operations. And so this one would have come out, you know, these cultic operations. Also, some fascinating work on serial killers. A lot of serial killers have big connections. They are themselves crazy crackpot sickos, but they have connections where their proclivity is used, and sometimes some of the killings are pinned on them. And sometimes, you know, that really there's rings that are doing killings or that they're part of. They might do two killings and then the rest of them were doing six. And when you really study the cases, you find that the group that was doing those things is still active afterwards and does similar things in the region that you don't really know about. But that serial killer gets pinned for all of them. Now, they're still sick people. But that how people get used is a very important thing to ask. And this will lead in eventually, of course, to the issue of the Paul McCartney question, but I would send people to the Dave McGowan sites. They're not perfect, but Dave McGowan has done a massive amount of work on the serial killers and also on Laurel Canyon and the, shall we say, mind control, also mass propaganda element through Hollywood and music industries in L.A., and his work on the Laurel Canyon is called Inside the LC, The Strange but Mostly True Story of Laurel Canyon. It's not perfect. It's about 21 different web pages. Some of them are more, you know what I mean, they're more a little bit, they're more conjectural. Some of them are less conjectural. And you get a feeling, if you stick with it, you're not really picking on everything. You learn a heck of a lot. And his work on the serial killers, I think it's, well, he's got a book out, actually. Dave McGowan has a book on serial killers, and he talks about David Lee Lucas, Lucas and Otis and the relationship to Mexican cults. They were claiming in the late 80s, mid-80s, that they were involved in Mexican cults, and Lucas himself claimed that he was delivering drugs to Jonestown. But anyway, Otis, who's a sicko, very sick stuff, you read about it, but he said, yeah, we went, you know, I got involved in this cult. It allowed me to do the killings. But basically, you know, they were running a satanic cult down there. Well, who is they? And then no one believed them, right? But by the mid-90s, they were doing forensics in that area, and they found mass graves and satanic stuff in that Mexican region. Now, he claimed that wasn't their particular cult, that they were involved in a different one. But when you kind of wake up that there is stuff found, we do know this stuff is existing. Some of it seems to be its own. You said how it gets connected. Well, there's people religiously. There's people, you know, just through sick proclivities, people who run through intelligence. There's intelligence infiltrating the sickos. There's sickos infiltrating the intelligence. It's back and forth. But it's his work is really excellent on the serial killers. He has a little pop quiz that he did. It's not really a pop quiz. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek about serial killers. And you find out, my gosh, all the connections that they have. I forget if it was Lucas or another one that was, no, it was another one, who actually was able to arrange at 15 or 16 when they visited D.C., Washington, D.C., a White House, special White House Oval Office tour. So obviously he knew somebody. You know.
Wow. Well, let's talk about more after the break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Coming through on the other side in just a few minutes. Don't you go changing. And if you'd like to, join us in the chat room at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.